stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Responses. Enjoying this, or you might be hating it because some people do not like ASMR at all, which is so interesting. But just in case you want to know, you're at the right place. You are listening to Nerdificent. I am your host, Ify Wadiwe. And, you know, I'm real excited about this one because it's very quiet at times. And sometimes it's loud. You know, I do know someone who hates ASMR. And that person did pick it. It's Danny. She hates ASMR. So I think, you know, in her honor, I'm just going to do it like this for the rest of the episode. The binaural mics that I ordered.
Hey, how you doing, little mama? Let me whisper. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm back. I made it back to the show. It's been so long since I've been on the show.
Yeah, you know.
How's Naomi now? She's in college.
Yeah, isn't she?
Your daughter Naomi's in college.
She's in college now.
It's been so long since I've been on this nerd-tastic podcast.
During that whole bit, Danny was moving her arms like she was using a cane, but it just looked like she was getting ready to shoot some dice. So I was like, all right, you want to lose your money? Go ahead.
This is how much I love you all. Not that literally anyone asked for it, because I don't think anyone, maybe one person might have asked a long time ago, but I can't remember. I thought it would be fascinating to look at the world of ASMR. Because it is technically, I think, a part of the nerd community. I consider it part of the nerd community. It's definitely a part of the YouTube community that's really taken off.
It existed before YouTube,
but yeah. But that's kind of what made it explode. I don't like it. In our group chat of this podcast that we have with Dan and our producer and Anna, I said, I would rather us going over hardcore porn than ASMR. I'm one of those people that find it, what's the word? Uncomfortable. That's the word I'm looking for.
You just got to find your right trigger, see, because I was the same way. Where I was like, this whispering ain't doing it for me. But then I found out slime and scratches is where it atches.
Well, the thing that I do want to say is that a lot of these YouTubers are upset, and rightfully so, that they're being flagged as it being just a sexual fetish. And they do, a lot of people use ASMR to sleep, to relax and sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And
even Cardi B.
Uh-huh. And there are a lot of people that use it for sexual reasons, and that's fine too.
I mean, that's with anything though.
That's true, Ify. Like we said with Roger Craig Smith, some of that Sonic art,
some of the Sonic art
on Tumblr, which Tumblr is now taking off porn. Anyways, yeah, ASMR, as Ify said, it is autonomous sensory meridian response. Essentially, this is the definition, is an experience characterized by a static-like or tingling sensation on the skin that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and upper spine. We know it as people talking very quietly on YouTube.
Yeah.
Very, very quietly. Like this quietly. And you can hear my mouth, the sounds. You can hear when my mouth comes together.
So that's the whole point. But somebody might be like, yep, that's it. I need Danny to start an ASMR YouTube, please.
I guess I could do an ASMR Patreon, maybe. I don't know. I have some projects that need to get funded. I think I'd be good at it, too, especially this voice that I have.
It's all in the voice, I think, too.
So, yeah, Ify, tell me, what are some of your favorite videos? Like, what are you into? What do you like to watch with ASMR? Let's not get into what you're...
Yeah. Well,
that was too general of a question.
with ASMR, I've found that it is like the slimes. And I found it because I was like at a party. You know how you go to a party, the conversations kind of die out, and you talk to everyone that you know. And, you know, you're like, all right, well, let me bust out this phone and, you know, use this until somebody tries to shame me for using a phone at the party. And I tripped across, it was so random, it was on the Explore page, but it was a slime Instagram channel. And for some reason I had like, I didn't have headphones. I was watching it and then I was watching the slimes and I was like, oh, this is oddly pleasing to look at, but it said ASMR, and then I kind of put the phone up to my ear and I was like, oh, this is tight. Mm. So,
yeah, I can't remember. I think Danielle Radford, who is one of our close friends, she was on the Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode.
Yes.
She's openly said this, so I'm not outing her. She likes listening to people eating sandwiches.
Oh, really?
And that to me is how I figured out that it was sexual. I thought it was just like, oh, yeah, okay. I didn't really think anything of it. And then when I heard that of, like, people with beards eating sandwiches, I was like, oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, let's get into ASMR. So although the term ASMR and the niche YouTube community are relatively new, the sensation itself is arguably not. There's no actual record of ASMR existing until a few years ago because people had no way of really talking about it. The sheer volume of ASMR videos on YouTube, though, is a testament to the thousands, I would say millions of people who feel these tinglies and, I don't know, they enjoy it.
Yeah. And it is crazy because it has like blown up, and it's been interesting to see kind of where it started, which was, I feel like a lot of the videos kind of focused on the whispering, mm-hmm. kind of touching.
Hey, how you doing, little yeah. mama? Let me whisper in your ear.
But like it's kind of blown up, and there's so many like.
Oh, wait, I have it. Wait, hang on. Oh, yeah. You know what? I feel like
hey,
if.
How you doing?
I mean, they did the entire song like that.
Yeah.
I bet
yeah.
that was, you know, so I'm looking at a Billboard. This is an article on Billboard. It was the 10 times whispering in rap songs unintentionally created an ASMR experience.
Oh, really?
You know, hip hop might have been.
Yeah.
Might have been.
Might have started it.
Especially because that's a little sexual. You know, that's a little sexy.
What's the number one pick on that list?
Ooh, let's see. What is another? Can you think of other? I mean, that was an. Oh, David Banner. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Play.
Yeah. Yes.
Uh huh.
Yep.
Run, girl. I'm trying to get you.
Wait, no. Oh, no. This is the edited one.
Yeah. That's.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you would have been late by the time you realized it. You said, oh, wait, right after where it would have been too spice.
You're right. And that was a good call on their part because we can't play that on here.
Yeah.
Number one.
We can't say run, girl. We're trying to get your body wet.
Yeah, we can say that. You know, number one I don't agree with is Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla
really?
Ice.
Yeah, no. No. I'm going to have to take a pass.
But yeah, I totally agree. Two is the Whisper song from Ying Yang Twins. And three is David Banner's Play, which we're both... Both parts of my high school experience.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, my big thing was Like a Pimp. That was Dave mm-hmm. Banner's like big banger mm-hmm. for me. But definitely I was well aware of David Banner by the time Play came out. But like that was the one in high school I remember mostly because I got it as a ringtone for my Boost mobile phone, and I was playing it because someone showed me how to hack your Boost mobile phone to like put free ringtones on.
Oh yeah,
and I was the king.
Remember that
I came
frog
in.
Remember that like commercial
oh,
with
God.
The
I don't know how that frog was like the baby shark of our generation because everyone was all about that dumb frog, and I was like, how did this get so popular? Like, I understand the Ally McBeal baby. I don't understand that frog.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, Andrew, you're younger than us. It was this weird, like, cartoon frog where you could get your ringtone, essentially. You could, like, wouldn't it be a number that you set up or you texted or called or something, and it would give you that.
I got you. It was called Crazy Frog.
Yeah. Do you remember, while we're on this kick, do you remember the Gerbil song? Or what was it like? You don't remember that?
Dan seems well aware of that weird ass song. It's at the bottom.
People have either tuned in or turned out.
Oh man! All right, you should be able to. You should be. Oh my gosh!
This is what happens when I'm delirious from shooting for 2 weeks, and you bring me back on this show.
This not only. So I buried the lead here. I found someone who uploaded the original commercial, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. Crazy Frog, which is the name of it, has its own Vivo and a song.
Is it still alive? Oh, is it still posting news?
It's under the first video. Look.
Okay. I feel like I've seen this frog recently. Like, oh, this was from 9 years ago.
Oh, yeah. But it's also copywritten.
Crazy Frog commercial. Jamster! That was it.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. This is from 2005. I don't know. We're just... Okay, so you would text Crazy One if you wanted one of the like one of those songs, and Crazy Two if you wanted a different one. Anyways, that was our life back then. Wow.
Yeah. I'm willing to pay whatever dumb amount of money.
Are you doing it right now? Do you think that it still exists?
I'm about to find out. All right, live on air. You're hearing right now if this Jamster frog works. Crazy.
That's so... Watch you, like, give money to, I don't know, somebody, and, some,
hello,
like...
Hello, you've given $1 million to ISIS. I was like, oh, no. All right, let's get...
Let's reeling this back into ASMR. It's a great... So the ASMR community is a great example of how the rise of social media and online communities and the internet in general has transformed the human experience. It was so fascinating. I don't know if you saw Iffy today. I posted about not ghosting people because people are people. And I think instead of ghosting or ignoring someone, you can literally say, hey, you know, that you want to move on instead of... doing that, some passive aggressive stuff, because that person on the other side of the phone has, you know, a feelings and a value and worth, and the world is awful.
I got it. You were subbing.
No. I'm trying to tell the community here as a whole.
You were also subbing someone.
I was trying to tell the community here as a whole, that it's the adult thing to do would be to just be like, hey, I'm sorry, you know, I'm going to move on from this.
I'm here for you, and you're right.
What I meant to say was somebody came back at me and said, well, I saw on the Today Show they interviewed people from dating apps, and they said they've ghosted people and it doesn't bother them. And I want to be like, one, I'm not going to take dating advice from people on the Today Show.
Also, that's...
But that doesn't mean that it's okay.
But also, if you talk about... Because you can't just use that... Okay, if you're on a dating app and someone ghosts you, you're like, all right, we're here to play ball.
Right. It's different than when someone you know in real life.
And I know it's bad because someone's been trying for the longest to shoot a video at BuzzFeed where they're like, where the casting notes that they send internally to all of us is like, have you ghosted someone? I'm doing a video where people like go up to the person that they've ghosted and like, you know, basically confront it and apologize and stuff.
Yeah.
And that person has been trying to shoot that video for, like, I think at least 2 months now. Because who wants to admit that?
Yeah. Yeah. No. But what I was going to say is because they said that this has transformed the human experience. And I was going to say that person said, now we're really antisocial. That was their response to me about why people ghost or whatever. Which I'm not disagreeing with. But
because they're saying that people ghost because we're antisocial?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you kind of have to get over it. You can't. Like, I feel like we're allowing too many
excuses. I agree. And so what I was going to say, this relates in some way to ASMR, is that I think the sounds of human touch, this is like a Black Mirror episode. I think the sounds of human touch, something about that has that side of the human experience that even though people might be antisocial, they're able to find some comfort in. That's why now we've seen the rise of like professional snugglers, which is another thing that I've not smugglers, snugglers that I've tweeted about. And people are like, that's a thing. It is a thing where you can pay someone to cuddle. When I made a joke about it, I don't think the men that wrote me understood what cuddling means, that it's not me having sex with you.
Yeah.
I don't do it, but I just joked of like, hey, I want that as a job. Like, you know, have someone pay me to snuggle them. And they're like, I'll pay you. I'm like, yeah, you're saying it, though, in a way that you think that it's, you know, sexual when it's just supposed to be transactional. Anyways, I've gone off.
Crazy Frog update. Got terrible news for everyone.
Oh, shoot. They didn't just take your money and run.
No, they didn't take my money. It belongs to Aetna, the prescription, the company.
Very
it
interesting.
Goes, Aetna RX, this automated system doesn't recognize your message. Sign into your member website if you have any questions about your prescriptions. and it's funny to think that my favorite, that my initial message was crazy one. So now it's like, give me the crazy ones. give me the crazy pills. I'm doing drugs. Anyway.
So what was previously private and personal is now public, and common experiences that were not discussable have been named and identified. People who were alone in their feelings. This is what we're talking about of having it be... You know, now people are able to share this community online, essentially.
Yeah. So there was a peer-reviewed article on ASMR by Emma Barrett and Nick Davis, and they were basically trying to show why the recent trend could be important and helpful from a medical standpoint.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah. And they're saying it's ASMR was a previously unstudied sensory phenomenon. So, and like you were saying, I think it was because, you know, it's interesting because I think it's all kind of fresh and new, especially with it being unstudied. But I do think it was like this thing people would experience, and you know, you didn't feel a need to explain it to anyone because it might have been weird, or it might have come from, you know, someone whispering in your ear right before you're about to do that thing, and you're like, of course, this feels wonderful, you know.
You know, it's so fascinating. They keep saying, like in this article, it's the static like sensation across the scalp. You know what that reminds me of?
What?
This scene right here.
Do you ever feel the prickly things on the back of your neck? Do you ever feel the prickly thing?
That's them.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about
Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Yes. So ASMR was it? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Ghost or ASMR is what we found.
Yeah, the prickly sensation against your scalp. And at times further areas in response. So now, so essentially ASMR, like if you watch, and we'll play some videos for y'all, but if you watch it now, it's everything under the sun. It's people like with, what I've noticed is a lot of women with manicured nails because they make that sound like on, they'll scratch their nails across hairbrushes or tap it on, you know, piece of plastic or something. The sensation itself is widely reported to be accompanied by feelings of relaxation and well-being. The study that Iffy was talking about identifies several common triggers used to achieve ASMR, including whispering, personal attention. That is another thing that I've noticed in the videos, crisp sounds, and very slow movements.
And the data obtained also illustrated that temporary improvements in symptoms of depression and chronic pain in those who do engage in ASMR, and a high prevalence of synesthesia within a sample suggests a possible link between ASMR and synesthesia, similar to that of misophonia. Links between the number of effective triggers and heightened flow states suggest that flow may be necessary to achieve sensation with ASMR. So, you know, that can be a tip to any, you know, what would you call the ASMR-er, you know, the person making them? Well, anyway, that's a tip to you. But here's another tip. How about you listen to these messages right before we come back so you know where to find us at?
Okay, so Iffy, so I found another reason why people thought that ASMR was sexual is many colloquial, and why are you giggling?
Because you said it in a way that you're like, you were just waiting, like as soon as this breaks over, I'm about to hit y'all with these facts.
Okay, listen, so many colloquial informal terms used and proposed between 2007 and 2010 included reference to orgasm. There was, during that time, a significant majority objection to this use among those active in online discussions because, again, people are saying that they don't only use ASMR for sexual arousal.
We, the people of ASMR, want you to know we're not horny.
This reminds me of the anime community. Yeah. Listen, it's not all tentacle porn.
Yeah.
It is somewhat tentacle porn.
There was that period where when nerdy wasn't in vogue, where like there were the people when you were like,
with
you
perversion.
Like anime, you're like, oh yeah, you like that hentai. It's like, no, those are two different
things.
Yeah. Like saying like people who like anime like hentai is just being like, if someone was like, hey man, yeah, I really like movies, I'm like a cinephile. It's like, oh, you like porn?
Cinephile. You like making love to movies?
Yeah.
However, by 2015, a division had in fact occurred within the ASMR community over the subject of sexual arousal. So this created a segment of videos categorized as ASMR erotica.
Yeah, there was a video I saw a while back of this woman doing ASMR on YouTube where some of the comments were very critical because I guess she was like wearing like a low-cut top and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And they were like, oh, we feel like you don't have to be that sexual. And then there was a fight in the community that was like, let her do what she wants, which there's truth to that. But their motives, I don't think, are the same. Their motives are not, let's give her autonomy. Their motives is, I like that.
Yeah.
So it is like interesting that it is kind of something at the forefront of the community. And I wonder if that is because, you know, it kind of removes some of the stigma, I guess you can say, around the ASMR, where like if you were to tell someone you're into ASMR, they'd be like, oh, that sexual sound thing, you're like,
oh, you like bearded men eating sandwiches.
Yeah.
Well, I think actually one of the hugest reasons is because it changes their ads. So because it now, if you are categorized as a sexual, it's going to change your ads, and we'll get into that as well. Yeah, so if you sent me a video, it is ASMR Amy. This is from November 14th, 2018, so not too long ago. It has over 1 million views. It's ASMR, very intense breathing sounds to relax, tingle with me, English whispering. And she is wearing a low-cut top. She is a well-endowed woman, which is fine and should be acceptable on the internet.
So I got a head start on these, so I just want to talk about these the specific one, because, you know, there's 1 million different types of trash comments. And, you know, the only ones I really want to point out are the ones that are like seem offended by it. Reep Beats said, this wouldn't be a bad ASMR if she wore an actual shirt.
But what does that mean? Because ASMR is for listening.
That's, you snatched the words right out of my mouth, which is so funny. yeah, and then so the one right after that was like, who came straight to the comments to see what people wrote? And it was like, yeah, me too. Because it's like, it's so funny that like people are so mad and they're like,
people get so worked up over boobs, which yeah. are just boobs, and like half the population has boobs and all of the population uses them to eat.
Yeah,
typically at some point, you know, it's interesting. Iffy, I do know that some of the terminology change in the ASMR community regarding this because it was perceived as sexual.
The initial consensus among the ASMR community was that the name should not pose a high risk of the phenomenon being perceived as sexual. And so because of that consensus, Jennifer Allen proposed autonomous sensory meridian response. Allen chose the words intending or assuming them to have the following specific meaning: autonomous, spontaneous, self-governing, or with or without control. The sensory is pertaining to the senses, of course. The meridian signifying a peak, climax, or highest point of development, and response referring to the experience triggered by something external or internal. Then Allen went ahead and verified it in a 2016 interview that she purposely selected these terms because they're more objective, comfortable, and clinical than alternative terms for the sensation. And Allen explained that she selected the word meridian to replace the word orgasm due to its meaning to the point or period greatest prosperity. thus created the term Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, and its acronym ASMR were both adopted by the community, and it seemed like everyone else commenting on this phenomenon.
Yeah. So if we were to go back to the actual history of trying to track down maybe where it started, the contemporary history of ASMR began on October 19th, 2007, when a 21-year-old registered user of a discussion forum for health-related subjects at a website called Steady Health with the username OKWhatever, submitted a post in which they described having experienced a specific sensation since childhood comparable to the stimulated by tracing fingers along the skin. Remember you used to do that when like they would like spell the alphabet or something on your back and you had to guess what letter it was? Or the crack an egg on your head and let the yolk drip down? There actually are a bunch of videos that have something similar with running their fingers down their scalp.
Yeah.
So, yet often triggered by seemingly random and unrelated non-haptic events, such as watching a puppet show or being read a story. So, essentially, something like that, like being read a story, is having a reaction in someone. Reply to this post, which indicated that a significant number of others experienced the sensation as well. They also talked about having a response to witnessing mundane events. And that is a lot of ASMR videos. It's like eating a sandwich. That's a mundane event. You know, doing your nails, brushing your hair. Like, those are all everyday events that people are having. But when you use these microphones that are picking it up to the level that it is, that you can hear every sound and every mouth sound, people are having a reaction in their body. And or they just find it relaxing. And or sexual.
But if we wanted to go further back, Austrian writer Clemens J. Setz suggested that a passage from the novel Mrs. Dalloway, authored by Virginia Woolf, which was published in 1925, describes something kind of comparable. In the passage from Mrs. Dalloway that Setz is referring to, a nursemaid speaks to a man who is her patient in a deeply, softly, like a mellow organ, but with a roughness in her voice like a grasshopper's, which rasped his spine deliciously and sent running up to his brain waves of sound.
You know, this kind of sounds like a fan, like some of those Lemon fan fictions that I used to read in middle school.
Yeah, you know, this
when
is
it was like, rasped his spine deliciously. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that sounds like if I was trying to be extra when describing ASMR, that's the words I'd use.
Yeah, according to Setz, this citation generally alludes to the effectiveness of the human voice and soft or whispered vocal sound specifically as a trigger of ASMR for many of those who experience it. So let's play them some. You think we should play them some?
Okay, Ivy? Yeah, play them some.
Yeah, so this is from Gentle Whispering ASMR. So you will have to, we'll go ahead and play a couple of, I'll make sure that I'm relatively quiet. We'll play you a couple of videos and then you can turn your volume back down because I don't want to, I don't want you to have to turn it up to listen to this and then be crushed your eardrums. So this is from Gentle Whispering ASMR. This is from 2012. It has over 20 million views. It is a video called Oh, Such a Good 3D Sound ASMR Video.
Okay, and I'll send you one of my faves.
The tapping sounds remind me of the sound of the rain. Or something gentle.
So she is, this is Danny again, she is essentially just using her fingernails to tap a brush, a hairbrush, and it makes that sound. I'm going to switch over to another video, which is ASMR Ultimate Head and Scalp Massage Roleplay, Realistic Binarial Sounds for Relaxation. This has over 4 million views from Heather Feather ASMR. So it's essentially her scratching her scalp. This is from ASMR Requests, and it's face massage, water sound, soft speaking. So I will say that at the start of each of these videos, it's they're speaking very softly and introducing what they're going to do in the video typically.
So we're going to just do really light, gentle circles over your cheek.
She's using a one of those poor, like an exfoliator, a vibrating exfoliator face massager.
I use one of these at home myself.
I have one more, which is pretty funny. It is one that Universal put out, I think this year. Was it this year? It was this year. It's the Grinch eating a raw onion.
It has layers. multiple layers. I think I need to have a crunchy nipple.
It's just him staring at the camera, wide-eyed, eating an onion. But do you hear all those sounds? Okay, so this is Danny. I'm going to stop the videos now, and we can turn the volume back up. Do you hear all of those sounds? So when he was taking that bite, like each of those little, like, crevices, essentially, all of those little raspy sounds, that is what people enjoy. I mean, they enjoy so many different aspects of ASMR, but essentially, if you're making an ASMR video, that is what you're, all the different sounds, the crispness, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's like they say, or like Danny was saying earlier, is that, you know, those sounds, a lot of the sounds are oftentimes ones that are, that can be linked to physical touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like the head scratching one from earlier and so on and so forth. So, you know, anything that almost has a tactile feel to the sound is what people go crazy over it.
So here's one, trying ASMR for the first time with my dad. Seems very on brand for me. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the health benefits that they found from ASMR right after these messages. And we're back. And I realized, because I was talking with Iffy during the break about how I mentioned that the front page is all women. What I meant to say is I think that a lot of times women, like we see with the cosplay community with women, is anytime that they do anything like that, it's automatically categorized as sexual. So I understand their argument and their, you know, that just because these women are speaking softly into a microphone or tapping a hairbrush or, you know, whatever they're doing, it's seen as sexual, even though that might not be their intent. A lot of them do say, like, so this front page that I'm looking at says ASMR Christmas triggers to help you sleep, ASMR relaxing triggers to help you sleep. So, you know, so even though some of them are clearly labeled to help you sleep, it doesn't mean that everyone's going to use them the same way, I guess. So just something I wanted to point out, and that they've been doing studies that ASMR is actually helpful to people's health.
So Forbes reported that researchers from the University of Sheffield in the United Kingdom wanted to find out whether ASMR tingles might also confer other benefits, or if it's just all about the feeling. And to investigate, they conducted a two-part study. So in the first part, more than 1,000 people watched ASMR triggering videos and other videos without ASMR elements. And then they completed an online survey about the frequency of their sensations while watching the videos and their emotional responses, such as excitement, calmness, sadness, etc. And people who watched the ASMR videos answered follow-up questions about which part of the videos induced the sensations. The results showed that the participants who experienced the most frequent ASMR sensations also reported the highest levels of excitement and calmness. Conversely, they also said they experienced the lowest levels of sadness and feelings of stress.
That's so fascinating. Maybe because it is calming. It is relaxing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the next part of the study moved the experiments into a lab to more closely control the conditions that they were going to put them under. And researchers recruited a mix of 110 ASMR and non-ASMR experienced participants that took baseline measurements of their heart rate, skin conductance responses, a way to basically measure your emotional arousal. The participants then watched the ASMR and control videos and, in the first part of the study, reported on the frequency of their sensation. Then the researchers measured their heart rates and skin conductance responses again while they watched the videos to compare against the baseline measurements. The results ended up showing that the participants with a history of experiencing ASMR sensations had a significantly lower heart rate, an average of 3.14 beats per minute lower when watching ASMR videos than those who hadn't previously experienced the sensation. The ASMR experiencing participants also had a higher reading on the skin conductance on the skin conductance test, indicating greater emotional responses. Results across both parts of the study suggest that people who experience ASMR benefit emotionally and physiologically when watching videos that trigger the sensations. They reported the highest levels of positive emotion and lowest levels of negative emotions, and their heart rates dropped to levels comparable to what has been observed during mindful meditation.
Yeah.
The one catch is that this all only appears to hold true for people with a history of experiencing ASMR.
Got it. Yeah. You know, I was going to say some of these, I don't listen to ASMR, but I do hypnosis and meditation. I have a meditation app called Calm, which I highly recommend because I hate meditating. I'm one of those people that everyone's like, just do it. It's so easy. No, it's not. Being alone with your thoughts, sitting still for 10 minutes is torture. But Calm app, I feel like, helps a lot because they'll kind of talk you through it. But I also do hypnosis, and there's a lot of hypnosis if you're interested on YouTube. And it's kind of similar, a little bit different, but it is someone kind of whispering because I'll do hypnosis for sleep. And it's supposed to help you relax. They'll do a body scan sometimes. Well, they'll walk you through your body, relaxing different parts of your body to help you sleep. And since they are whispering, it is somewhat similar. So that is really fascinating for me, someone that said that they didn't like ASMR, to find out that people that are doing it have these instances of positive emotions and lower levels of negativity. I might need to get on it and or start my own account.
I can help you find your trigger. I can help you find your trigger if you need it, you know?
Dang. Yeah, I just need to be more open with
what
myself.
What if it's snapping? Not doing anything for you?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I like rain, so my meditation apps normally have rain. I did want to say, so this was from an article from Forbes, I did want to say, actually, before we move on, that we forgot the godfather of ASMR, who is Bob Ross. Bob Ross is known as the godfather of ASMR, you know, in the community. I think for a lot of people that he was someone that people would listen to go to sleep. That sounds bad, but not
the devil out.
Not bad. You know, he was relaxing. A lot of people would listen to him or listen to his tapes and watch him and stuff because he was relaxing.
That was a happy mistake.
Yeah, so they liked his soft speaking and some of his mouth sounds and whatnot. So this is another article from Forbes. It says, is there any money to be made in ASMR? Let me go ahead and just skip this whole article. And yes, so there's a couple of ways to make money in ASMR when obviously having viral videos like the ones that we showed you that had like 4 million views. The only problem is that sometimes if they're flagged as being sexual, that can affect their monetary income. So some ASMRers have opened Patreons. Patreon has also gotten weird about their sexual stuff as well, though. So,
yeah.
And again, I'm not tying ASMR to, you know, sex work and that, but it just seems that everywhere people try to go, it seems to be kind of blocked. So that was just what I was going to note.
Yeah.
It looks like you can also get it maybe on other platforms, such as like iTunes and Spotify. I hadn't even thought of that, but that makes sense.
Yeah, no.
That makes sense to have ASMR on those.
Well, also it's like, it's crazy how like, you know, once things kind of blow up as a way people sleep, you could probably get ASMR on Alexa. I know that we do rain sounds because Naomi, it helps mm-hmm. her. It helps her.
I have a question, Iffy. So if an attractive woman has a lowish cut top and has, you know, her manicured nails and is rapping on a brush or something like that, and it's flagged as being sexual, do you think that that would happen to a man?
No, because, I mean, I feel like a dude can probably even do it shirtless, you know, and
it wouldn't be sexual.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very obvious that there is a bias against women, and a lot of the sex work banning across platforms. I mean, like Tumblr literally said female presenting nipples, which was absurd because that's kind of been part of the debate behind like banning nipples that was that's been shied away from is that it's like, oh, you'll ban male nipples but not female nipples, and for Tumblr to just outright be like female presenting nipples.
Yeah.
Which is basically literally in that same rule saying like, oh, shirtless men are fine, just not women.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that hammer tends to fall the same way, you know. If it's not as bad, it doesn't look that. And I think it's a double standard. It's unfair, mm-hmm. and it sucks, especially in this case where, like, I mean, not this isn't to say that, you know, if you are doing sex work, you should be banned from doing it. But then the fact that it's like affecting women who aren't even in the sex work industry,
yeah,
it just seems like an excuse, and it seems like no one should care because a majority of women do it. So that sucks. But I mean, like, the core of that also comes from like SESTA and FOSTA, which was the law that passed that basically allowed the government to like fine and shut down websites if someone is trafficked sexually on it. So that kind of closed down places like Craigslist, because even though a lot of, you know, sex workers used it, if one person was found to be using it for trafficking, then now they get to punish the site. And that's just kind of a way to get the sites to bully people out of, you know, harboring a safe space for sex workers to work. Mm. I mean, you know, I'm sure I'm butchering it, but that's the general gist of SESTA and FOSTA.
Yeah.
And it was voted on because, you know, people hear sex trafficking and obviously want to stop that. But it's been kind of used as a dog whistle to kind of shut down a lot of safe sex work.
Yeah. Yeah. Which leads to unsafe sex work. So, yeah. So, I don't know. It is interesting that some of these studies that we can link in the notes that talk about how it reduces depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and helps those susceptible to insomnia. I do want to say, if you're having better sleep, that is going to affect your mental health. That is going to improve your mental health. So if you're someone that has difficulty sleeping and ASMR helps you have a deeper sleep and a longer sleep, then that would make sense that it would lower your depression, anxiety, and panic attacks.
Yeah.
Also, just having a calming, I know for me, using my meditation app, we have one for panic attacks. It's like a 90-second or 3-minute like calming. You actually just watch a bubble and you breathe with the bubble. You watch the bubble expand and you watch it decrease. And I can imagine that for those that are having panic attacks, putting on something calming like ASMR and listening to someone quietly, you know, helping you and talking to you would be helpful. So I'm going to, you know what, 2019 is the year that I accept ASMR. And I'm such an open person. I really should. There's no reason why I shouldn't be in the ASMR community.
ASMR is a fun thing to try. It, I think, you know, we're going to be dropping some YouTube channels in the footnotes for you to check out, just to see. And, you know, this has been a fun one. Let us know what your triggers are or end up being, or if you found ASMR through this episode and found one that really works for you, let us know and we'll check it out and see if we match up.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to plug, Danny?
Follow me at Ms. Danny Fernandez. I guess tell me what your kind of your ASMR thing, what you think that I would be into. Y'all listen to me. You've listened to me for almost a year now. What do you think that I would be in? What would turn me on to ASMR, I guess? What do you think is like a welcoming, comforting thing for me to try, I guess? Here's one of my pet peeves, people eating. This is why I don't like ASMR. I do not like the sound of people. I'm one of those people that, like, if your spouse is, you know, even though you've been dating them for like 3 years and they're right next to you and they're chewing a loud apple, I cannot handle it.
Yeah.
I have to go in the other room. Oh, it's too much. The sounds of people eating loudly. Anyways.
Well, and you know me, January 19th and 20th, like I said last week, I will be at San Francisco Sketch Fest doing three shows as it stands that I know of. First one being me doing stand-up live at the Alamo. Second one being White Women, Your Tuckin' Friend live at Sketch Fest. And the last one is doing Yo, Is This Racist live at Sketch Fest. So catch me there. Or I guess you can catch me later on Yo, Is This Racist, when they release that live app. But, you know, it's probably fun to be there live, feel that energy coming at your face. I saw Childish Gambino Monday night.
Did you feel
or that was last night. It's Tuesday, guys, this week.
Did you feel reinvigorated?
Oh yeah, that it sent waves through my body seeing Childish, and I'm ready.
That's how I felt seeing Into the Spider-Verse. I felt like, yeah, there's a reason I'm doing this, and it's to get more stories. You know, there's a reason why I'm here and trying to make TV and trying to make, you know, both of us trying to make our creative endeavors of getting stories that haven't previously been able to be told and having characters that don't, you know, haven't always been able to be represented out there. And I loved it. I cried. I cried.
I cannot wait to see it. I was supposed to see it. I ended up missing the screening I was supposed to catch. And then in the end of it all,
you know,
I bumped into Demi actually on my way here, and he was going to go see that movie.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say that, I saw it like they let, like movie critics see it like 2 months in advance. That's how they know it's good. So here's just a little inside thing. When something's not good, they either don't have a screening of it or they'll do it the week of, like 2 days or something before, so you don't really have time to do a review. They let people see Into the Spider-Verse like 2 months in advance. I saw it a month in advance, but even when I had saw it, a bunch of our friends had already seen it like the month before. So they were like, it's good, tell everybody.
Yeah, they even did early screenings at Regal for like their like insider fans. I was like, man, they want people to see this dope.
They're like, they know it's good, as they should. Cool.
This has been the movie talk portion of our ASMR podcast. And as always,